Then once I started searching for his lectures, interviews, and that kind of stuff, you could spend weeks just watching Dr. Bredesen on YouTube. He's got so many, but I picked out a few that were good. And so he has written a book, and he in the book down here, The End of Alzheimer's, he describes the success of 200 of his first patients. And he individualizes the protocol to address 37 causes of Alzheimer's, along with some general lifestyle changes. And it's also called the RECODE protocol, and by some people anyway. And he addresses detoxification, infections, metabolic dysfunction, hypoxia, and inflammation, which are all factors in Alzheimer's. And
Question, Kali, Connie. From what I've been reading, he does this also for other types of dementia. What did you read about?
I didn't find anything on other types of dementia, but I would think that he covers pretty much, he's calling it Alzheimer's because most of the dementia supposedly is Alzheimer's. But I remember the definition of Alzheimer's was the presence of the plaque and the tau proteins, and they're finding out that these are not the cause of Alzheimer's. These are the body's way of trying to address brain damage, basically. It's like a band-aid the body puts over the injury on the
Or
brain.
like arterial plaque.
Yeah, like we were talking last week. The body knows what it's doing, but sometimes it just can't overcome what we do to it.
But the accumulation of too much of that plaque is harmful, is a problem.
Well,
That's what I read.
it's that's a sign of massive brain damage that happens over the years
But
and inflammation.
there's people that have that plaque that have perfect memories as well.
That's right, that's right. They have not correlated the amount of plaque with the amount of Alzheimer's. And he's finding that the real causes are listed here. So this is not a one size fits all approach. And he recommends treatment strategies that are highly specific to an individual. So here in this link here, this is worth a look. He introduces the first survivors of Alzheimer's. And some of these were extremely, they couldn't work anymore. And they got better so that they could go back to work. So it's been pretty successful. And he says there are 37 possible causes. We're not going to go into all 37. And it's usually a combination. So he's categorized Alzheimer's into five types based on causation. Type one is inflammation. This can be from a poor gut or mouth microbiome. There is a gingivitis infection that can get into the brain. And this is, he says it's usually from poor habits, but let's not blame the victim, right? And the inflammation can be from chronic mold, which we talked about, mold infections and mold exposure and toxins. Can be Borrelia is another common infection, and high sugar levels. And they all cause inflammation and break down the plaque. I'm not sure where that came from, break down the plaque, but it causes inflammation. And the rhino, the nose, and the sinus microbiome is so important because this is a direct link to the brain. So if you have chronic sinus infections, you really should work on getting rid of that because it co could cause Alzheimer's. And he said that in studies, Alzheimer's pathology looks like it comes from the nose. So take care of sinus infections. Type two is a poor internal support system, like low hormones, including D3 and this neuronal growth factor and brain density neurofactor. Anyway, these are hormones in the brain that help to sustain and grow brain cells. Okay, not new brain cells, but maintain those connections by repairing like the neurons and that kind of thing. Hormones, including vitamin D, are trophic. Trophic means that they rebuild and maintain brain function. And if you have a sudden withdrawal of a hormone like menopause or hypothyroidism, it can actually cause the buildup of the plaque and inflammation. So then there's type 1.5, he calls it, and it's like a mixture of type 1 and 2. And he calls it sweet Alzheimer's. And it's excess sugar, and it causes the sugar to attach to proteins. That's called glycation of the proteins, and that makes them dysfunctional. High A1C and insulin resistance is a factor here, and some call this type 3 diabetes, if you've ever heard that. Type 3 is mostly toxins. Heavy metals are a big cause, and that's what, I experienced with uranium poisoning. I couldn't find my way out of a paper bag. I couldn't remember anybody's name. And the kids used to tease me. I'd be like a mile from home and they'd go, "Turn right, Mom." Like I was lost.
That's scary.
And so I didn't know. I had the hair analysis. My son and I both had high. We got tested and had high uranium levels in our hair. So it also can come from air pollution. He talked about there was a city, it might have been in Mexico, where these children were getting Alzheimer's disease from breathing the bad air. And organic toxins like volatiles can also damage the brain. People who work with, solvents and that kind of thing.
Honey, what does he use to detox his patients from metals?
He didn't go into this in what I, but I know
Oh.
how to do heavy metal detox.
I'm surprised. Yeah, he came from mainstream medicine originally. He
Yeah,
was
well,
from,
he's learned a lot since then, I
yeah.
think. But he also has like people working for him. And so this was, there's massive amounts of information. And I guess if you buy his book, it goes into a lot more detail on the 37 different types and the different ways of addressing the separate. But I mean, I know how to detox most things. So that's type three of toxins and biotoxins. Don't forget about the mold toxins. Mold is a big problem, but we talked about that before. And it tends to accumulate in the cortex. It affects the cortex of the brain. And this is seen in younger people, and you have to treat it differently than the other.
And how do they test for that to see?
I think that they the metals, most environmental doctors either do a hair analysis or a challenge where you chelator and collect urine and test that. But
Also for the mole too.
no, then the mold, each type of toxin is a different type of test, you know. The mold, we talked about that, if you can see, I guess it was 2 times ago, and there are tests where you can test for the mold toxin or the presence of mold itself in your body. I'm talking in your body, in addition to, in your house, you have to address your living situation. So then that's the toxin, that's type three. Type four is vascular Alzheimer's, where you get poor blood flow and oxygenation. And especially at night, if you have sleep apnea, you can get this. If you have just poor blood flow from clogged arteries or high blood pressure or congestive heart failure, that kind of thing, it can cause this type of Alzheimer's. And then there's traumatic Alzheimer's from brain injuries. You see this in football players famously, you know. So this is his book, The End of Alzheimer's, I talked about before. And here is his basic protocol. But this has to be individualized in order to address the causation. Okay. So early diagnosis is important, and these are the tests that he does, and then you address the results of the tests. And he was talking to Dr. Amen, and they were talking about getting a cognoscopy after the age of 45, just like you get a colonoscopy, but it's not really the same. It entails genetic testing because this gene, APOE4, is a risk factor. So you will see people who say, I have one or two of these APOE4 genes, and that gives you a risk of developing Alzheimer's, so you should address it early with this protocol. And they follow blood testing according to functional medicine principles. And then if you have symptoms, they suggest imaging using a PET scan. And that can detect Alzheimer's 10 years before the symptoms.
Wow.
I remember my mother getting an MRI, and this was before we knew she had the problem. And she said, my doctor says my frontal lobe is shrinking. What does that mean? And I just said, I don't know, but I found out quick because she developed frontal lobe dementia, which you lose impulse control. She got really wild before her memory went, really.
What
So
is a PET scan?
a PET scan, oh.
I can read it for you if you want. I
Yeah,
just
go
called it
ahead, do
up.
it.
Okay. A positron emission tomography scan is an excuse me, an imaging test that can help reveal the metabolic or biochemical function of your tissues and organs. The PET scan uses a radioactive drug called a tracer to show both typical and atypical metabolic activity. It can often detect the atypical metabolism of the sorry. Tracer in diseases before the disease shows up. Tracer's off.
Does
Something a
that mean
tracer is
gadolinium like the MRI?
I when you say radioactive tracer, I cringe.
Yeah, say the same thing.
I wouldn't do that. I would just treat it.
This is a little off topic, but because I'm scheduled to have this done and I'm thinking about, I've never had a, I think this is a ultrasound with, I've never had the, oh gosh, I know I
The
wouldn't.
gadolinium
No, I mean, with the, when they do it with the
contrast.
contrast, yeah. And I'm nervous about that. I've never had
Okay, I'll tell you what to do.
that.
Because the contrast is usually gadolinium. It's a heavy metal and it's extremely toxic. It's how my father went into kidney failure from
Yes, I heard
having
that.
it. It's very, very common. I have a New England Journal of Medicine article on this. That was published after he died. But if you take N-acetylcysteine in high doses before and for 2 days after you have this done, then you will reduce your chance of kidney damage, significant kidney damage, from 33% down to 9%.
Wow. Because I don't know if I should have it's my gastroenterologist and he wants to just get finally a scan done completely. He said, Mary, I'll know if anything's going wrong with anything from your liver to your ovaries, you know. And he wants to have this, you know, done so he can figure out. I've been having this pain for years and years and years. And he took out my gallbladder. It turned out it wasn't that. And but that was by my choice. But it, so I don't know what it is. So he said, let's just figure this out, you know, because nothing else shows up anywhere, you know. So
Yeah, well, that's a pretty invasive thing to have
yeah.
done.
So I don't know if I should just try to. I'm thinking I should just.
You know, why don't you call me sometime and we'll talk about it. I might have ideas.
Okay, thanks.
I'll just add something about that radioactive stuff because I don't like the idea either. But I know Dr. Daniel Amen, he uses the SPECT scan for the brain, and they have to do the same thing. And he says it's the same amount for like a CAT scan, I think, or an MRI, headaches. And I was kind of, I didn't really want to do that kind of scan. But there's something else you can do that is not invasive like that. And I'm trying to find out about that. It's an, what is it called, though? It's a letter and an EEG. And I forget what that letter is, but I'm trying to find out more about that.
That would be interesting. That would be pertinent to this discussion, I think.
Yeah, I'll find out more information.
So these are other tests that they were doing suggested. Homocysteine, that's a pretty common test, I think. And if you have high homocysteine, you have you know, danger of heart disease, brain disease, you know, it's one of the intermediaries in amino acid generation, you know, like when your body's making cysteine and things back up, it might go into homocysteine, and this is the toxic, sort of a toxic amino acid that you don't want. And then they test B vitamins, including B12 is real important, and choline. And yeah, this is the precursor to acetylcholine, which is the neurotransmitter that's deficient in a lot of Alzheimer's. And so choline is also in lecithin, which is in my brain stuff. And then inflammation, of course, inflammation of the brain. If you have inflammation, you should somehow figure out how to get rid of that naturally. And insulin sensitivity, of course, that leads to that glycation of the proteins plus the inflammation, and the brain can't use, it's actually insulin lack of sensitivity that leads to type 2 and 3 diabetes. Your brain can't use the sugar, and then a lot of times you don't have enough ketones from the fat to sustain the brain, and so it just doesn't have the energy it needs. And hormones, they talked a little bit about the hormones and how if you are low thyroid, maybe low in some other protective hormones, and vitamin D, D3, remember, that's a hormone, and that's really important. The receptors for D3 are in every cell in your body. It's responsible for all your functions. So try to get your doctor to measure your D3 and make sure it's over 50 nanograms.
Will a regular blood test from a Western medicine doctor tell to the right
dose? They're very resistant to doing D3. And Medicare demands some sort of number, you know, diagnosis in order to pay for it. And So I talked the doctor into calling me vitamin D deficient or something to get mine tested for free.
So how was yours tested?
But they have to order it. If you go into the doctor and they do the regular old blood test, which is pretty much worthless, except for the blood glucose, that's interesting. But
so it's a special blood test.
You have to specifically order that.
Now, my doctor had told me about a lab right here in Cary that now you have to pay for it. You know, insurance probably wouldn't cover it, but you can order your own labs. It's called Alta Lab. And she said they were really good, but for things that doctors don't normally say, no, you don't need that. I'm not going to put in for that. If you felt like you wanted to get it tested, you can get anything tested through them.
Yeah. Well, I go for every few years, I go for Lifeline screening, and they use the ultrasound to see if I have any clogged arteries. They test for osteoporosis and stuff. And I paid $60 extra to get my vitamin D tested.
Oh, okay.
And so that was, that time it was 33, which isn't real bad, but then I upped my dose of vitamin D to 10,000 units a day, and it came up to 55. Okay. So it's not about how much you take as much as, you know, just your blood levels. So anyway, and then they include heavy metal toxicity tests. They didn't say, you know, specifically how, and they test your antioxidant levels, like your vitamin C levels, and I guess I don't know. What are the antioxidants? A, E, C.
Yeah, Connie, what is Lifeline screening?
Lifeline screening is, I always get ads for it. You know, they always want me to come in, and you pay $100. That's a discounted price, maybe $120. And you get 5 tests. And you get checked for an aortic aneurysm, which my dad had. And you get your carotid and femoral arteries checked for plaque. And you get AFib test and a DEXA scan for osteoporosis.
So you feel confident with them? Because my husband's had it done once through them, and I didn't know, are they good? Are they, you know, is this, I don't know. I didn't know.
Well, last time, I mean, my results are always good, but last time I took my husband and it showed that he had plaque in his arteries. So, and that seems reasonable to me.
Okay, yeah. Because I just, you just never know, you know, what places are accurate, what ones you're, you know, spending your money on. And
yeah,
it's,
but that's true of every place. Even the mainstream testing isn't always
right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So where do you go for this lifelike testing?
They set it up. They'll set it up like one day in a church near you or a fire hall or something like that. And you just go, and then they have these rooms. It's sort of like when you give blood. Mm-hmm. They set up rooms where you go in.
They come to your area every once in a while, right? You can't.
Yeah, they vary according to your needs. But basically, he uses omega-3s, ginkgo, that improves the circulation to your brain. Curcumin is the anti-inflammatory. Propolis, that I take that improves the energy to your brain.
What is that? Is that just because I know, I mean, what is propolis?
That is from the honeybee.
Oh, the honeybee, okay.
It's what they use to protect their hive.
What?
It's what they use to protect their hive.
Oh, neat. Okay.
They cover the inside of the hive with that, and it's antibacterial, antiviral, very protective.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm. I'm a big fan of propolis, too. I use it. I have a propolis nasal spray.
Okay.
That's good for mold, isn't it?
I also have something where you vaporize the propolis in your house.
Oh.
Get some of the mold out of the air.
Oh, that's interesting. You just put it in your diffuser? That's neat.
Okay. Well, it's a specific temperature, so I don't think you can just put it in your diffuser. You have to buy this device that's
okay.
You know, set for the temperature for the propolis needs to vaporize at.
I'll look up that. Thank you.
Now, I'm not sure what this next thing is. SPM Active. It might be one of his products. Resolvins related to omega-3s. Magnesium threonate and other magnesium. Magnesium threonate is different in that it crosses the blood-brain barrier and it helps with sleep. I know.
Is it thorinate or is it threonate? Is it supposed to be with just an O? Because I have something that has that too. It says, but mine says thorinate.
I think it's threonate.
Yeah, there's two words that sound very similar. I was just reading it the other day, but I can't remember the difference between them. I wonder if I wrote it down somewhere. Let me see.
Okay. Well, I can't get to my. Yeah, I can't get to it. So. Where can you see what I'm sharing?
Yeah.
I can see your notes.
Yeah.
Can you? I can't.
Yeah, we can see you.
Okay. There we go. I'm messing around. Okay, so creatine. There was a big emphasis in several of the videos on the magnesium. The creatine, my son had a bad reaction to creatine one time, so I'm not a fan necessarily. Melatonin is supposed to be one of the best antioxidants that your body produces. And they used to think it was just produced at night from the pituitary, but now they found that every cell in the body produces melatonin. And it's one of the big things I took for COVID because it's such a powerful antioxidant. And vitamin D, and then ashwagandha, which is maybe my new favorite herb. Or whatever you call it. When I was extremely stressed, I put ashwagandha in my coffee and I chilled out. And last night after I was up, you know, working on this, I wanted to get some sleep. So I took some ashwagandha and it's not as strong as melatonin and it just, you know, relaxes you.
Is it like in a powder form that you put in your coffee?
Yeah, I like things in powder form. Okay. You can get the capsules too.
There's also suppositories for melatonin.
Okay. Oh. My brain is just like, why would you use it as a suppository? Is it?
it's much more absorbable that way.
Oh, okay.
I was holding up this book. I haven't read it yet. I just skimmed it, but it's called Melatonin Miracle.
Oh.
Beyond sleep, fight infections, degenerative neurological disease, depression, autoimmunity, aging. Heart disease and cancer.
Yeah. It's supposed to be like a great, the best antioxidant in the body.
But they talk about very high doses compared to what most people get.
Mm-hmm.
Like high.
Yeah, I took a lot when I had COVID. So then those are the supplements that they generally suggest. And then diet, you want to move away from sugar, processed food, carbs, toward a ketogenic diet. And you also want to improve your gastrointestinal health, which we've had several talks on the GI system. And different people need different things for that. So, but GI, you know, the gut-brain connection is very strong.
He's talking more recently about, he calls it a mildly ketogenic diet.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. I think more vegetables, less meats.
Well, actually, this assisted living and memory care homes in Arizona,
yeah,
they started out with a vegan diet. He didn't know anything. And he just said, I want my people to be healthy. So the owner of these homes started a vegan diet and they went downhill.
Wow.
So they fired the vegan chef and he started reading more and more and ended up with a carnivore diet. And these people really improved. And I've been on ketogenic several times and it's great for the brain. It's great for losing weight and energy. But after the holidays, I'm going to go try the carnivore diet because I've been seeing more and more. There was a woman doctor that is a carnivore doctor, she calls herself, and she was showing, you know, how she does it. So I was inspired.
Can I ask you guys your opinion? Because I value your opinions, but the Joel Fuhrman, do any of you know much about it? It's called Eat for Life. And from what he says, he's had great success reversing diseases that you would think were not even reversible. And did you ever hear about the Eat for Life?
Well, yeah, I followed him years ago and I can't remember why I stopped, but it didn't.
He's all vegetarian, right?
He might be.
I think he is.
Well, you know, I can say something about that. What I know about being a vegan is a lot of times they just eliminate animal products, but they don't add other things. And what I learned from the live living foods or raw foods community is that you're missing some things because of our culture is not real natural. So you have to add certain things like fermented foods. And I can't really say what else, but I don't know. And I have heard some things that eating a lot of meat, it may improve your health temporarily, but you've got to see what happens long term. So I don't know.
Quality meats, that's a big thing, you know.
Yeah, there's so many factors.
There's a lot of factors. And I tried, you know, because I tried being vegan. I was committed to 2 weeks and I used the anti-aging person, Brian Johnson, his exact diet. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to die after 3 days. So I just ate cheese. I couldn't sleep and I was tired. And I just ate cheese and then I was able to sleep. But
cheese.
Like, give me animal protein. So I recently saw a doctor talking about him and his diet. And she says he's so analytical and science-based for most of what he does, except his diet. He admitted that he does his diet because he doesn't want to kill animals. Mm-hmm. And so it was for ethical reasons. It wasn't for health.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then to compensate, he takes over 100 supplements a day.
Wow.
So wow. If you somehow compensate for what you're missing, and it's not just about the protein, it's also about the fats. The omega-3s that we use to support our brain are only from animal sources.
That's my holistic, Dr. Belize. She wants me to put pads of butter on my toe. She said that you can bite into and see your teeth. She's found great success with that.
Mm-hmm.
Here you put pads of butter where?
She said, put enough butter on your if you're going to have toast and make sure the bread is, you know, an okay bread. But that's a whole other topic, though.
I thought you said tea.
No, she said, put enough butter on it. I want you to be able to see your teeth marks in the butter when you bite it. So she's a big believer in, like you just said, with you have to have that animal fat, you know, too.
Well, I also, over the years, you know, I just kept eating and like an American, you know, and I was becoming insulin resistant. And so there wouldn't be any diet that I could go on no matter how few calories I ate, I could not lose weight. And then a friend of mine introduced me to keto. And when I went on that, I immediately, well, not immediately, over 9 months, I lost 35 pounds.
Wow.
So
I'm on keto too, and she swears by it. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, at first you feel like really tired because you're so used to burning sugar that you can't burn fat. And that's the problem with, you know, not being able to lose weight. You can't burn fat. So then after 2 weeks, I guess your body builds up the enzymes to burn fat. And it's like a switch goes off in your brain. And suddenly you have energy. And then the energy builds, keeps building after that. So it's really, but he uses as much ketogenic as possible. He, you know, it's important to be able to use ketones in the brain. That's, you know,
Dr. Brennanson said it was a cleaner fuel.
Yeah,
for your body. Cleaner. It's much cleaner than burning sugar.
I have heard, though, that you can go into ketosis or whatever the expression is without eating a lot of meats. So there are other ways.
Yeah, I think that's what he means by the mildly ketogenic diet. I think he focuses a lot more on vegetables now.
Yeah.
But still stay off the carbs and the sugars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think in any
fats, a small amount of meats. And a lot of vegetables, I think, is what he's talking about now.
Yeah.
Who said that, Sue?
Dr. Brennanson.
Oh, okay.
I've just been watching him recently myself.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh, it's D before S, right?
Yes.
Bredesen. Okay. So, yeah. So he suggests, I think that also it's hard to convince people to go extreme ketogenic because people love their carbs. And it's just, and I think that if you add a little carbs to your diet, then you just crave more carbs. And he was also saying that you don't want, when you put somebody in memory care, you don't want to like feed them whatever they want to eat because everybody wants to eat carbs. So you have to control their diet for them.
They feed them. I just finished actually, my job was just recently, I was a caregiver for a Alzheimer's dementia patient in a Alzheimer's dementia facility here in Cary. And wonderful, wonderful lady. Unfortunately, she passed away a couple of weeks ago. But she lived a great, like 97 years old, 98 years old. But I noticed in that, that's what really got me on. I do not want to end up like this because even in there, like you said, with the foods, they were feeding them all kinds of processed foods. I mean, they have their little, you know, cups of fruit in all that sugar, and they give them tons of sugar, tons of sugary snacks. They have a beautiful dinner menu for people that come to see it because it's a, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 a month facility. But they go to, they have this wonderful, you know, menu that looks great, like a restaurant chef's type thing. But then they give them all kinds of junk snacks and stuff like that throughout the day.
Well, that's what this guy, if you listen to his talk on why he was creating these care homes, memory care homes in Arizona, he said, oh, the state is so strict in coming in and making sure you're giving everybody their drugs, right? Yeah. But they don't care about the diet. And so most care, and I know from my parents and my in-laws, that they just feed you the cheapest stuff they can find, which is all carbs.
Goldfish crackers all the time, fruit cups.
Yeah.
Granola bars that are just filled with, you know, not natural granola bars, but yeah, processed throughout the month.
I used to go in and yell at the people in the Alzheimer's unit, do not give my mother cake or dessert. And so one time they opened a cabinet door and inside it said, no dessert for Frances in big letters.
Oh, well, hopefully they were giving her a healthy snack instead of that so that she wasn't left out.
Well, I think she was not going to starve, believe me.
Yeah.
I think that one of the keys to that is that, you know, when people get, most of the time when they have Alzheimer's, they're older and they don't want to change their diet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I have trouble too. I like some carbs. And I think the key, and I'm trying to get into this, is learning to substitute with things that give you that same satisfaction, the mm-hmm. same, what's the word? Satisfaction.
Yeah.
And it's not something you can get that readily. You've got to learn more about it. And my friend who is a vegan, and she's a live food, raw food vegan. She has been for probably at least 20 years and is very healthy. And she is really into preparing the foods. And she comes up with these amazing recipes mm-hmm. and stuff. And I want to learn from her. Not that I want to go that way 100%. But if I can at least have my snacks replacing the carbs, that would be Yeah, that would be a major step.
Well, I spent like an hour and a half watching this carnivore doctor last night. I was glued to it because she said, every time you're white knuckling it and you want to go for those carbs filled snacks, this is what you can do instead. And she just prepared all these different things from eggs, cheese, meat, and heavy cream. Oh, and that's all she eats.
What was her name?
On YouTube, she calls herself the carnivore doctor.
Carnivore doctor.
And so I was very inspired to, you know, starting after Christmas, after all the temptation is gone, I'm going to do this.
It's so funny because my nephew had come to visit and said that he was going to do the carnivore. He was really looking into that. I'm like, oh, what? You can't just eat meat? But I know nothing of it, so I shouldn't offer,
Well, I know that's always your first, but then I see all these people, including older women, who went carnivore, and they're super, they grow a lot of muscle, you know, they're very muscular and fit and everything.
How long have they been doing that diet?
Years.
Like years could mean 3 years or 20 years?
I don't know. I know that they became very healthy once they started. I don't know, but I just, you know, I don't want to live to be 110 or anything. I just want to be healthy until the end of life.
Quality of life, not quantity.
Yeah. So there, and then there's stress reduction. Do you want to take this, Sue? Because I didn't go into details on stress reduction because I thought you had information on the meditation.
Yeah, I actually the care centers you're talking about, I watched a video. It was one of those programs where, you know, they have a new video every week and every day of the week, and then they want you to buy the program at the end. It was really good, actually. It was all on Alzheimer's. Bredesen was the first speaker, and then they had someone that ran one of his centers. I don't know if it's his center, but it's based on his program that ran it. And they used this meditation as well, which is called the... Linking out. It's Kirtan Kriya. Kirtan Kriya.
What is it? Oh, Kirtan
Kriya meditation. And it's based on, it's from India. And it's been proven to improve your memory and just do amazing things.
Yeah, I just read about that.
I'll
tell you. Improves blood flow to the brain, reverses memory loss. What else? Carry my handwriting. Oh, it increases telomerase. Is that how you say that, Connie?
Telomerase, yeah.
Telomerase.
The telomeres are those tips on the DNA.
Yep. They said, but there was a new study recently that showed it increased that by 43% or something.
Wow.
No one had ever done that before. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting meditation that involves you say words. You use your hand movements, and you change the volume of your voice, and you also do a visualization while you're doing all this. So it's complicated. It's several things going on at once to activate your brain. I'll show you what it looks like.
Great. Oh, that's great.
You say Sata Nama, and Sata Nama, the words mean Sa means birth, Ta means life, Na means death as in transformation, and Ma means rebirth. So you're saying those words, Satan. But you can, some people say it, some people sing it. The one I like to do, they sing it for the first 2 minutes, and then they whisper it, kind of a loud whisper for 2 minutes. And then they do it silently to yourself for 4 minutes, and then whisper for 2 minutes, and then you sing it again at the end. So the one I do involves the singing. I like that because, I don't know, I just connect to it more. And the visualization part is while you're doing the hand movements and the Satanama, every time you say a word, you're going to visualize light energy coming into your head from the top and going to your brain and coming out your third eye. It's like a golden light for each word. So it's a little hard to do because it's so many.
That's good. That's what you need when you have to do what they're trying to get you to do is several different things. So your brain is really powering up because you really have to. And I'm sure it's really difficult at first because things like that, when you already have a deficit like I do with it, I can't remember things, you know, even a chant, you know, until I do it a few times. But then you're probably see the improvement. I bet. Do you see the improvement after doing it for a while?
So I've only been doing like a week or so.
Oh, okay.
And I've already seen some improvements. Yeah, yeah. Like I'm not losing as many things as I usually lose, like my keys and my glasses. I'm keeping track of them much better. I'm remembering that I remember, for example, that I have an appointment with my throat doctor January 7th at 2:30.
Oh, good.
And that's, I have an appointment to get
that calendar.
A dental appointment December 12th at 1:45.
Yay.
So even though I'm brain foggy a lot because of my MCS, my chemical sensitivity, I'm brain foggy a lot. Inside the brain fog, I'm starting to remember things better. But I'll show you what it looks like anyway when you do it in the beginning. You're supposed to either sit with your legs crossed, or if that's uncomfortable, I don't do my legs crossed. You sit in the chair with your feet, you know, flat on the floor and your hands out like that. And your back should be pretty straight. And then you just go like, I'll put my hands up so you can see them. Satanama, Satanama, Satanama. And you just keep doing that.
I'm going to try that.
For 2 minutes. And then after that, you go, Satanama, Satanama. You just change the volume. Then 4 minutes, you do it silently. And then you go back to the whisper, and the singing is the last part again. So it takes 12 minutes, not that long.
That's cool.
And it's different than other meditations where you're focusing on your breath and trying to count and stuff. And I get really bored doing that. But this, I don't get bored doing.
That's great.
Here's I'm putting this in the notes, including the explanation that you sent me and the video that you can follow along with.
Yeah, there's one video that explains how to do it better, but she doesn't sing it. She kind of says it kind of monotone. And so I don't like doing her version, but I like listening to her explanation of it. And then there's an animated version, actually, of a woman just doing the meditation. And that one has a singing with it. So I usually do that one every day. That's what I started to do. I try to do it in the morning. If I miss it in the morning, I won't go to bed without doing it. I've made that commitment. I'm going to do it every day. So I was wondering if other people would be interested in joining me and experiment and doing it for 2 months and seeing what happens.
I'm game.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'm going to include it in my routine as of tomorrow. Okay.
Yay.
You mean join you on Zoom together or just commit to doing it?
I think commit to doing it. I think it might be hard to get everyone to meet every day.
Yeah.
Okay,
so a question for you about that. Are you watching and listening to the YouTube presentation while you're doing it?
Yes, I just follow along because it plays music too. It's like a musical soundtrack. So I like that part. It just leads you through it. And then you know when the 2 minutes and when it's time to change your voice and all that. Otherwise you'd be looking at the clock or something, which wouldn't be good.
That last link that Connie wrote with the YouTube video, that's the one that's a good one to follow along with?
Is it? Wait a minute. Is this the?
That one explains how to do it. It's not that one. There should be another one, Connie.
The one up above it, I think, right?
Oh, okay.
No, one up above it is an article.
Oh.
The animated one is missing.
Well, resend that one that.
Okay, just put it in the notes.
Yeah.
It's an animated one where they sing at the beginning.
Okay.
And this one is just where a woman explains more about it, what the words mean and things like that.
Okay.
How to do the hand movements and stuff. So everybody's in? Everyone's going to do it with me?
Yeah.
Cool.
Plus, I do much better if I have to, you know, kind of answer to somebody else. Like if I end up coming back, I won't want to come back and say, oh, I did it for one.
I'm really curious to see what it'll do because the studies are impressive to me.
Okay, so you'll send me this link. I'll replace that link with yours, and you can send
both of them are good because one, if you want more explanation, they can get more details, and then the other one, they don't tell you how to do it. It just begins with the meditation. That's all it is.
And it's mostly for the brain, or is it just
to heal the brain, basically increase blood flow, improve memory, increase your telomeres, all kinds of good stuff. Okay, and there's an article. Read that article. It's linked above the first thing. It's from a yoga center where it talks about all the benefits of it. It's a whole long article. So if you want to know more, I'd read that article about the science behind it and stuff.
One with Dr. Chris Walling, it says.
Yep.
Okay.
That one. And what else? Oh, I'm excited. Everyone's going to do it. I think it'll be fun.
That's good. This is better than sending out a mass email that, you know, a lot of people.
Well, and we can communicate about it if you want on Signal.
Yeah.
You know, if people have questions or problems with it or anything.
Yeah, thank you.
Steve in? I see Steve up there. Steve, you in?
Steve. Yeah.
What?
I'm not answering that.
We want a commitment, Steve.
For what? I was.
In oh, a meditate. Time. We're going to meditate every morning doing this meditation for
2 weeks, right? 2 or 3 weeks.
Wait, no, it's 2 months.
Two months.
See, I'm already talking it out now.
He extended our contract.
Oh, it was for 8 weeks.
See how long my memory is? I went with two, and I didn't know where the two was supposed to go.
That's what the studies have done. So they said after about 8 weeks, you get these really amazing results.
Oh, that's great.
But if you only want to do 2 weeks, that's okay. So, do what you want.
I'm just going to put it into my routine because the routine includes meditation. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that.
Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm going to pass on it. This is
okay.
I'm not in that place right now. So.
Do you have a Signal app on your phone?
A Signal app?
Yeah, it's a messaging app called Signal. Because we were going to make a Signal group for us on there.
Oh, I don't know how to do that. I'm not good. A Signal app.
Yeah, I'm learning about it too, Steve.
No, it's real easy to download. If it's on your smartphone, yeah. You go to the apps and look for it. And then it will say Signal private app. And then you just click on it and it'll give you directions to follow through.
All right.
It's a maybe, huh?
All right. I'll try to.
We'll work on it. I have to get my husband's password too, so I don't
maybe know. Connie, you could explain to me at another point because I'm not.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll do it together over there.
All right. Very good. Okay.
Okay, Sue. I just tried to find the Signal app, and mm-hmm. There's one that just says Signal. Another one says Signal Messenger app download. Would that be the better one?
Well, mine's what's the private?
What's just the first one? Signal. Just Signal.
It looks like. Can you see my? I don't know if you can see my phone where the app is. I don't know if you'd be able to.
I can't tell.
The blue screen with a white circle and dots around it, like.
Oh, it's blue. You said.
Yeah, it has a blue square with a white circle that looks like a bubble. Somebody talking, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, I got it.
So I have to learn how to create our group, though. I haven't done that before. Unless someone else knows how.
What are you going to call it?
What do you think? The healthy aging group? Mm-hmm. Healthy aging?
Yeah. See if that's available. My website's going to be healthy-aging.website, but I'm having trouble getting that address connected to my website. So.
Okay.
I want to start a blog on that too, which we can share. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how about sleep optimization? And does anybody have, I didn't get any how-tos from him, maybe on some videos there are, but does anybody have any input on how to get to sleep? How do you guys do it?
I listen to sleep stories.
What do you do?
I listen to sleep stories through Calm. It doesn't always work though.
If I can't sleep, I listen to yoga nidra meditation. Got a bunch of them. If anyone's interested, I can post them in the Signal group when we get it.
Well, I have to just stay away from food in the evening and caffeine for majority of the day. Otherwise that will keep me from sleeping. But otherwise, I don't have any problem sleeping.
Mary, what did you listen to on Calm?
I subscribe to Calm, C-A-L-M, but I don't know if I'm going to continue it. I like it most of the time, but I found that you can find a lot of things out there for free, too, if you want to listen to those. So, and it's getting, you know, a little more expensive, but it's a paid subscription. Mm-hmm. And sleep stories and meditation and things like that.
Okay. And what did you say, Sue?
Yoga nidra meditations, which I learned about recently because I learned they're good for sleep because I had a friend who did a group thing where we did a meditation every day together on Zoom. And I didn't know what it was, but yoga nidra, that it's guided meditations and it's much more about being in the body, much more somatic than you don't have to imagine stuff or
is that
follow
a
your breath.
Thing?
What's that?
Is that a paid subscription or free?
It was free because my friend was doing it, but I have a bunch of them. People are interested in trying them. I can post them once we get the group together. I can put the link because I have them on my hard drive. What was it called? you know, the drive in the cloud where you can access them. I can send you a link to them. We got about 10 of them. And they last pretty long, like about 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And they're not really meant, you're not supposed to fall asleep while you listen to them. But when I was doing the yoga nidra meditations, I was having problems sleeping. And every time I did the meditation, I'd fall asleep right in the middle of it.
Mm. Good thing.
I'd wake up and the group would be like, you know, gone when I wake up. And so I said, wow, this really works. This really puts me to sleep. So I started using it as a sleep aid. Because the woman's voice is extremely calming and relaxing. And she walks you through different like sensations in your body. It's much more somatic than it is like a normal meditation.
I also found that by cutting out my glass of wine at the end of the day, that helped me to sleep better.
Oh, that used to, yeah, waking up in the middle of the night.
I would have a glass of wine with my dinner, and then I would have one while I was sitting down relaxing. And then I would go right off to sleep, but then you wake up and my brain was so active when I was awake. So cut that out, and that helped a lot too.
Yeah. I think with the Signal app, you have to have people's phone numbers.
I put my phone number in, and then it sent me a verification code. Mm. And I don't know how it works after that, because I'll look through it after I finish with this.
Yeah, you have to have, you can't just install it on your PC. You have to have a phone app first, and then you can put it on your PC if you want to, which I urge everyone to do that and not use your phone. But
does that mean my husband can listen in?
Well, he could have access to the messages.
Maybe it'll rub off on him.
Yeah. Wouldn't write anything bad about him in there.
Yeah. So yeah, since I got the dog, I don't have trouble sleeping. She wears me out.
Take him for walks and stuff. Yeah.
I wanted to add.
Yeah.
I have some more resources to add.
Oh, to the general talk, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know if you were finished or not.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. So Marama, M-A-R-A-M-A. No, M-A experience. No, it's all one .com.
Oh, okay.
No space.
Yeah. Is that right?
.com. Yes. MaramaExperience.com. And then there's Marama at home. Well, actually, you could put Marama.org. No, I'm sorry. I'm not sure about that.
Is that the care center?
Yeah, that's where they can go. And I think they lived there a year, and they've had good success. They followed Dr. Bredesen's right. protocol.
And they do the meditation I was describing, the care center in Korea.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's part of their program.
Is this the assisted living in California?
Yes, this is the California. So they also created a Marama at home. And that's .com. And that's for people who can't go there and pay that high fee. And I think it's like $400, $495. And they give you the curriculum, kind of the protocol. And I think they assigned a trained person to like a counselor to help you with it too.
Probably a coach, huh?
Yeah, coach. Good word.
Is that correct? MaramaAtHome.com?
MaramaAtHome.com, yes. And then there's another center that opened up in Kansas called Clear Mind. But I don't have the website. Let me see if I can find it. I'm not sure they have one, actually.
And I think Bredesen has a book that just came out on the survivors of Alzheimer's disease.
I think that was up here.
Did you mention a book?
Yeah. There, The End of Alzheimer's, right?
That's his first book.
Oh, okay.
He has a new book that just came. He's written several books, actually. I'm not sure what's his first, but he has a new book. It's something about the survivors of Alzheimer's disease.
So he's also doing a clinical trial right now, which is a really important step. And it's in about six different locations. So they're I don't know if they're still looking for people to be a part of it. You'd have to go to his, you'd have to search around. I haven't found a website for that yet, but let me see if I can find it.
And what are you searching for?
He's got clinical trials going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He also theorizes that this protocol will work for other brain diseases as well, but they don't have a science, but he believes it probably will prove that it helps other brain illnesses too, not just dementia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. And I will also put out, I don't know what other people's feelings about Dr. Amen are, but they also have had a very good success rate with reversing all kinds of brain problems. And they have this free thing. It's called brainhealthassessment.com. And you can go brainhealthassessment, no spaces, .com. And you can go there and you take it. It's a quick, short, like 10-minute questionnaire. And they'll tell you, they'll send something back with your brain type and tell you, give you a protocol to follow.
Now, was that Dr. Amen or Bredesen?
Amen. Yeah.
Okay, because Bredesen has one on his website too.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh. I'll have to do that one as well. But they give you that free protocol to follow. So, and, you know, of course, it's not prescriptions. It's a lot of things like, you know, supplements, diet, exercises and stuff. They say that they've had people doing that alone and were able to have success, but they don't have a lot of data from that because people will just do that on their own and not not let them know. So but it's all good stuff that, you know, we've been talking about anyway.
Good.
Yeah, this is good.
Oh, I think this is it. Apollo Health, maybe?
Yeah, Apollo Health, that's Bredesen's.
Okay.
A website. I have that up somewhere. It wasn't in the summary, I guess.
Proactive Health. And he mentions, mentions Amen in it too.
He says find a practitioner or coach. So that would be good too. Apollo Health Co.
Yeah, here. Here it is, Dr. Bredesen. Bredesen's website.
Yeah.
And this is Know Your CQ is okay. That's the site for the analysis of your
brain. And there's a Dr. Julia, no, she's not a doctor, Julia Lundstrom. Let me see if I can find her. She does a lot too. I sent you, Connie, something, a link, because she does a lot of these free webinars. Basically, it's the same as what we've talked
about. It's Dr. Julia what?
Yeah, I don't know if she's a doctor. L-U-N. I have to find the information. I listen to her stuff. I think she's good, too, and she's really trying to help people. She does have a supplement. I can't say I've noticed a change, a difference from the supplement, but I'm not real good at taking it every day. Mm. And then there's this other couple that seems to be doing a lot of work as well. And I have to find they're from Europe somewhere.
I'm looking at something called Proactive Wellness Centers, and it seems to have all the stuff that you guys were talking about on there too. With both
Yeah, there you could lose yourself in all the information.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But the one thing that I thought that they're missing is combining with the aging doctors who are actually reversing aging, including the brain. And so that's why I did this research on my brain stuff. And I found all of this, you know, research and reviews of research on NMN and fisetin, red Korean ginseng, and berberine. And these are supplements that Bredesen is not mentioning. I don't know whether he's using it or aware of it. And this other doctor that I follow is Dr. Stephen Cabral. And so he did a video on two sleep dementia studies.
That's funny. That's where I was born, where he did the study, Framingham.
Where?
Framingham. I'm thinking it's Framingham, Massachusetts, because that's where they did the hot studies and stuff too. But I don't know if that's
I think this is the same study. I think the Framingham study was this humongous study, and then they took pieces out to study different, like the heart, and evidently they
my family was involved, my grandmother, my mother, and everybody were
really?
Yeah, yeah.
But they found that a 1% decrease in deep sleep each year correlated to a 27% increased risk of dementia over 17 years.
Thanks.
And so the loss of deep sleep with age was greater in those with the APOE4 gene. So what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know?
Hopefully it's reversible.
Have people gotten that test?
Okay, this is all reversible from what I understand. If you don't wait too long.
That's what my holistic doctor said, Mary, you're at the age right now. We need to work on this now.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Dr. Bredesen said over and over again. He said, if you can prevent it, that's a fact. But reversing it depends on how long you've had it.
He says it's been 20 years in the making, so the best time to do it is early.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. As soon as you're aware, and he keeps talking about most doctors, you go to them and you say, oh, I can't remember things, and they just brush you off. And
I hate that. That's so true. They say, oh, well, that's part of getting older. No, it's not part of getting older.
Nothing is, you know, basically.
Have other people had the APOE4 test?
I haven't had it.
No. I had it. I didn't realize I had it. It was before.
No, you have the gene, do you?
I have one copy.
Now, is that something that they said was like a short, is that also known as a short sleep gene? Have you heard of that? Okay, because that I think I might have that. My nephew had sent me something, the same one that's going to do the carnivores. He said there'd be a lot of interesting podcasts. And he did say that, you know, Aunt Mary, I really think you have this, because my whole life, I have a very difficult time getting more than 4 to 6 hours sleep. I think in my lifetime, I've probably slept. Yeah, I don't think I've ever slept. Maybe once in my life, I probably was sick, that I slept more than 8 hours. I don't ever sleep 8 hours, no. Usually between 4 and 6 hours a day. But that
worked. Do you nap during the day?
Energy in my brain. And but then I just found this out recently, like 2 weeks ago. And I said, I'm going to check into that, because I bet I do have this short sleep. And it, from what I understand, it's inherited. So I wonder if, I mean, it can be inherited, the short sleep gene, or whatever. Well, just like all genes, I guess. But
that's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to check that out and see. And what do you do? I mean, is there a way to go around that, or do people with that gene still stay healthy cognitively with that lack of sleep? You know, I don't know.
You know, the fact that you have the gene doesn't mean that you're going to get Alzheimer's, even if you have two copies. It just means you're at higher risk and you have to be more proactive.
Oh, at higher risk? Now, what did you say? Did you have that gene also?
I have one copy.
Okay.
And I have a grandmother that had Alzheimer's disease.
Okay. And so two copies. Now, if it's something like, if you have one, okay, so if you have one copy, it's still, so you don't sleep well?
You know, I used to sleep great. I used to sleep 7 hours every night. But last couple of years, I haven't been sleeping as well. Okay. I wake up early. If I go to bed early, I wake up early. If I go to bed late, I still wake up.
And did you say you don't know if your grandmother had?
I imagine she had the gene.
Okay.
Very bad Alzheimer's.
Does your sleep correlate at all with your exercise? Like, if you do a whole lot during the day, you might sleep better?
With me? Are you talking to me or her?
Anybody.
I probably sleep better, but I still sleep the same amount. You know what I mean? Like, I still can't sleep more than 6 hours tops. So it doesn't make me any more tired to sleep longer, but I get a much better sleep. Like, if I have the sleep app too on my, I mean, on my Fitbit watch, I don't know how accurate it is, but I definitely see an improvement in the quality of the short sleep that I get if I exercise or if I've had a non-stressful day. And so the quality is much better. But as far as trying to increase, I've tried for years to see if I could sleep longer. And you lay in bed and you're like, this is silly. You know, I can't sleep any more than this. I'm done. No.
But well, I can't say enough about ashwagandha if you're stressed.
I'm gonna try that. And, you know, I'm wondering if that's in an oil form that my massage therapist is absolutely wonderful. I go to her every 2 weeks. She is so great, and she also knows, she's a friend, you know, too, a friend of my daughter's. And she had heard how stressful, I have a lot of good, it's good stress mostly, but it's a lot of activity going on in my life all the time. And with, you know, 16 grandchildren and the whole family, it's busy, busy, busy. And so so she put this, I thought that's the word that she used, put that in the oil. And if it's something that doesn't smell good, that might be what it is too. I don't know if it smells bad.
It doesn't taste too bad.
Yeah. So what she did was she used it, and she said, I got up and I didn't know she was doing that. Like, I said, this is so weird. I always feel comfortable when you're done, but I feel like so relaxed. And she laughed. She said, I added an oil to your thing.
Oh, there you go. Maybe.
So I think that, I don't know if it does come in that, but that sounded familiar. So.
So let's see.
It's instead of Julia Lundstrom, you could put Simple Smart Science.
Is that the website?
Yeah.
science. Is that a .com or what?
Yes. It's LUNDSTROM.
What?
I think she's more like, she talks more about prevention.
Okay.
You say LUNDS?
Yeah. LUNDSTROM.
Okay. So I think there's a whole lot of science out there that isn't, you know, the scientific literature is so huge that very few people have the time to search it all and implement it all and all that.
So, I appreciate this.
So anyway, exercise. Oh, I was back on the protocol. Exercise is part of the protocol, and he focuses on the right type, frequency, and intensity. You don't want to over exercise, but you want to have some aerobic exercise and strength training. And this will increase the ketones, improve blood flow and oxygenation. And some, if you're not up to exercising, you get out of breath too much, they do a type of exercise along with oxygen therapy. And so he uses that sometimes. And then brain training exercises. I didn't get into the specifics. I know I do a lot of advanced Sudokus and that kind of thing. Some people are more number people and some are more word people.
I do an app called Elevate, and I hate it, but I love it.
What?
Called Elevate. It's also a paid subscription app, but it's Elevate.
Oh, Elevate.
Yeah, and it goes into 5 different categories. So it has some math, and I'm horrible at math, but some math, and then it has your reading. It goes into 5 different areas that you do. And some of them are very frustrating for me, but there's 2 that are memory, and I always do horrible at the memory. And it will give you an audio clip sometimes. It will tell you just a few, because it will keep moving you up levels, but it will tell you a few things that you have to remember. And then these balloons will pop up and you have to, you know, like point to the ones that, what was the information they just gave you? And it's, if I'm really relaxed, I'll do okay with some of them, but then there's a lot of information, like it gives you a lot of facts, and you have to put them into the right category. Did it go with this author, or did it go with this artist, or whatever, you know, give you information about a certain person. And then this is just one of the category things that you go through, and you have to, you know,
That sounds interesting.
It's very interesting because it really does, you know, kind of, it works your brain in all different areas. And they never make you feel really bad about it, you know, but it's, but I'm so competitive. So it will fill up this thing at the end that will tell you how much of them you got complete, like ding, ding, ding. So whenever I just get one quarter of the circle filled in, I'm like, so I'll say, okay, do it over again. I don't want the score. So I'll sit there doing it over and over until at least I get halfway through.
Oh man, I think you're giving me a new addiction.
But it's a cool, it is a cool app. But so.
Okay. Oh, you can get it on your computer, right?
You can get it on your computer, I think, too. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive because I don't use my computer a lot.
Are you done, Connie, or can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I don't know if people heard about that Dr. Newton, I think her name is. And she claimed she reversed her husband's Alzheimer's with the MCT oil and coconut oil. She says 5 tablespoons a day. Now, I don't know if that's all she did, though, whether he also followed a good diet for reversing it. But she has some videos, too. She's talked about that. But it's medium chain.
Yeah, that's part of the ketogenic diet, really, because it's producing they use that at least these Arizona care homes. They talk about giving them coconut or MCT oil. And there was a lot in the literature too about that.
Yeah. And that's an easy thing. I mean, 5 tablespoons to some people might be a lot, but it really isn't. I could put it on vegetables, on my food. And if it's hot, it'll melt. Well, no,
you can put it in your coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. The coconut oil will melt if you put it on something hot. The MCT oil is already like a liquid form.
Yeah.
So you might know her full name? The coconut oil together? Is that what you're saying?
Coconut oil has the medium chain fatty acids in it, but MCT is a more isolated. It's more potent.
Okay.
It